Most of us don't like lukewarm things. That's not our pleasure. That's not what we like. Wouldn't do us any harm, but it's not what we like. And what is God's pleasure? God's pleasure is that his people be zealous. He says this in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The Lord is looking for a holy zeal in the hearts of his people. He doesn't want you to come and hold your Bible like this and your hymn book hanging down and your heart not really engaged in the words that you're worshiping and rendering unto the Lord.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and it is a privilege to be on the air again to bring the message of the gospel today. We're turning today to the message of the Lord to the church at Laodicea, and it was a very vital message, a message that brought these people to see the error of their ways and to see their need for the Lord to be in their midst. Dependency on the Lord is the message. Let me read to you just these verses in Revelation 3 on the church at Laodicea. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit upon with me up in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so the issue here, of course, is lukewarmness. Now, that's an issue for every one of us. There's a danger that we become so lukewarm that we have neither courage to stand up for the Lord, nor do we have desire to be in his service. So we need to address this. And today here on the broadcast, we're going to be looking at this from the pulpit of our church. We'll be ministering on this very message, lukewarmness, how to address it, and how we need to maintain the zeal of the Lord that we may serve him. So let us open our hearts and open our Bibles today to this very message of the Lord. And I trust that there will be a blessing in store for you and your heart and family as you listen in today to this message on zeal, maintaining that zeal for the Lord.
We're turning to Revelation 3, to this message of the Lord to Laodicea. And of course, the message was lukewarmness. The thing that makes Almighty God sick, lukewarmness. He can take hot and he can abide cold, but this lukewarmness he will spew out of his mouth. In a recent article in the Canadian Revivalist, Dr. McClelland, who had been on a visit to Turkey, the land of Asia Minor, where these cities, these seven churches in Revelation are found, he brought a little report about an ancient aqueduct that brought water into the city. And due to not having a good water supply locally, they had to bring it from a distance. The water traveled in a stone aqueduct open to the sun. And of course, by the time the water got to the city of Laodicea, it was warmish. Now, there's something about drinking warm water that we don't like. We like our water ice cold. We like our tea and coffee hot. But when they are lukewarm, it doesn't please us. Most of us don't like lukewarm things. That's not our pleasure. That's not what we like. Wouldn't do us any harm, but it's not what we like. And what is God's pleasure? God's pleasure is that his people be zealous. He says this in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The Lord is looking for a holy zeal in the hearts of his people. He doesn't want you to come and hold your Bible like this and your hymn book hanging down and your heart not really engaged in the words that you're worshiping and rendering unto the Lord. He hates it. Let's get that today. God hates lukewarmness, half-heartedness. He hates it. It's despicable in his sight. He can't abide it. But he says to these people, I love you. You see, God is very zealous when it comes to the glory of his name and about redemption, the saving of his people. Now, God is not just zealous in the past. He's zealous now, this morning. Right now, as we meet here, God's heart is filled with zeal toward his church, his people. You read in the book of Ephesians 1 about his good pleasure, this predestinating, this redeeming, and gathering his people out of the world of sin, making them one day ready for heaven. God is zealous about this. And therefore, as he looks on at our worship, he cannot tolerate half-heartedness. When our Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he was zealous. He was filled with zeal. He said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. That's the very fervor by which our Lord went to the cross. He set his face as a flint. He was absolutely determined that that was the work that he must do to lay down his life, to pay the price of sin, to purchase you and me from our destruction and bring us to glory. And now, as the Lord Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, what's the state of his heart toward us? It's filled with zeal. Our Lord Jesus loves us with a fiery zeal. Now, we lose sight of that, don't we? In the stuff of life, in the practical chores and tasks of everyday life that take up our time, our energy, our strength, and our zeal, and we end up becoming zealous after material things. Those things that I suppose many of them are legitimate, necessary, but they sort of consume us, and we lose sight of real zeal for the Lord. Now, some have done that also through Christian work. So busy that they lose sight of the zeal in the heart of the Lord. Now, this table today, this communion table, is a call to remember. The Lord Jesus said, remember. Remember me till I come. Now, as you remember the Lord, what do you think? We don't draw a picture of the Lord Jesus. We don't believe in images of Christ. What kind of remembering are we to do? We're to remember, of course, the cost that he paid in his death. We're to remember his love for us. No man hath loved like this. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And we're to remember our Lord in his burning, zealous love toward us. And the command is very, very, very clear. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent means to give up any notion that Christianity is a low-key, take-it-or-leave-it religion. Christianity is the eternal purpose of God. Christianity is the very thing for which God maintains this world, hanging on a thread. Christianity is the world for which the universe revolves, spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth before Christ's return is his perfect will. That's the work that we're to be about. And we need to take this to heart. This is good for us. And I know it's a word of rebuke. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke. And I know it sounds like a chastisement. And I think we all have to confess and realize that we have slidden into a Laodicean spirit. Take it or leave it. Oh, I'm not sure if I'll go to church today. I might not. I'm not sure if I will get to my Bible today. I'm not sure if I will even have time to pray. Oh, how that grieves the Lord. If only I could find words to describe and depict how grievous and hurtful and painful to the heart of God, who is burning with zeal toward his church and his people, to see the sloth-like attitude. I think Proverbs talks somewhere about the sloth and the sluggard. It's painful to watch somebody who's a sluggard. You know, you're busy, you're going to get this job done, and there's somebody sitting on the job. And as I review the church of the Lord Jesus today, and as I think of many of God's professing people, that's exactly what we're doing, sitting on the job. We're there, but our heart is not in it. Would you do something for me today? Would you open your heart to this message of the Lord to the Laodicean church? The Lord had a very, very important message. And I think it's important to us as well, because the Lord's heart is still the same. And he desires that we worship him, not in a lukewarm fashion, but with real zeal.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope that the Lord has spoken to your heart from this passage in Revelation. One of the issues that a Christian deals with is the lack of assurance. Sometimes just the Bible seems dry and our own hearts are cold, and we need to come back to that very foundation to know that it is well with our souls. Assurance often poses a great problem to people who have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Usually they say they do not feel as if the great transaction has taken place in their life. They then conclude that they must not be really saved, unless they are told to ignore their feelings. But this is almost impossible to do. To try to live the Christian life without feeling the very assurance of salvation of the Lord is not something of which the Bible approves. It is obviously unsatisfactory to have a religion that produces no feelings to correspond with the beliefs professed. So what is the answer? Salvation comes by faith in Christ. So does assurance of salvation. We must be careful not to judge God's truth by a passing feeling. Rather, we should fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God, especially as it relates to what Christ has done for his people, and let that truth work in us to produce the assurance and feeling of security we desire. This is an extract from a little booklet called A New Beginning on the chapter Assurance of Salvation. I'd be happy to send this book to you if you give me a call or email or get in touch with us through our website. And it's called A New Beginning by Alan Kearns, and we'd be delighted to send this to you. It'll be a great help to your own prayer life and your own walk with God. Bible verses laid out very carefully here, and the things of God made clear and simple. So I trust that you'll send for this. And as you listen in to the broadcast day by day, I pray the Lord will build you up in the faith and give you grace, strength, and help to seek and serve the Lord. Stay tuned now as we come to the final part of our message on Laodicean Church, the need for zeal, the need to be filled with the Spirit and serving in zeal and energy unto the Lord.
I want you to see in this message to the church of Laodicea, firstly, the robbers of our zeal, the things that steal away our zeal. You'll see them in verse 17, that really it adds up to self-sufficiency. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and naked, blind and naked. What is this self-sufficiency? I'm rich. It is the tendency of the human heart to substitute things for Christ. Now, when you were converted and you first professed faith in the Lord Jesus, you realized that things could not satisfy your soul. And you were willing, upon conversion, to give up the things of this world. You realized that houses and boats and planes and earthly materials could not satisfy the need of your heart. Because the heart of man is spiritual, we're made in the image of God, and material things cannot really minister to the conscience, to the soul, to the heart. They're empty and vain. They're cisterns that hold absolutely no water. They leave us dry and drained. Now, what can happen in the Christian's life is that while we have given up those things and had a new attitude once, that we slide back into this Laodicean spirit. And stuff creeps into our lives, into our thinking, into our values. And we end up thinking, talking, pondering on material things. And they end up coming to be the very things we rely on for peace and joy and happiness. And yet this world it's empty. We live in a throwaway society. You just go to a thrift store or go to a garbage dump, and you will see that the stuff that was the must-have of today is the junk of tomorrow. That's the society in which we live in. And the things that people get excited about and boast about today, how long will it take until it's junk on the garbage pile? And the Laodiceans fell into this materialistic, must-have, earthly things attitude. And it stole their zeal. It robbed them of joy and victory in the Lord. And it does the same thing to you and me. Self-sufficiency, materialism, dependence on other things takes away our dependence on the Lord. And it manifests that we pray less, we read our Bibles less, we go to the Lord for less. We end up thinking that prayer meetings and prayer in our own lives is sort of optional, don't really need it. I'll not deny it, I'll not renounce it, I'll not be an enemy to it, but I don't really get involved too much. This half-hearted, lukewarm attitude. The Lord says it makes him sick. I spew thee out of my mouth. It's like drinking warm water, repulsive. And what the Lord wants is a repentant attitude. Be therefore zealous and repent. And I want you to open your heart to this message of the Lord. I want you to realize that this is a most relevant, this really hits the nail on the head in our lives. And it's the thing that, well, it ruins the church, but it ruins you. It ruins the blessedness that you have in the Lord. Now, another thing that is mentioned here is spiritual blindness. You'll notice in verse 17, the second part of it there, it says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable. You notice those words, and knowest not, and knowest not. This is the imperceptible slide into blindness, into wretchedness, not even realizing. And sometimes we need a jolt in our Christian lives to make us awaken up to the reality that we're not what we used to be for God. If you compare your walk with God and your worship of God and your prayer life and your zeal and happiness in the Lord to what you were at another period in life, what would you say that has happened? Well, I think we could read the list here. Thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. That's not a pretty picture. It is a picture of someone who is really lost out. And the sad thing is, it's the picture of a Christian. This is a letter to a church at Laodicea of professing Christians. And there was an attitude that had crept in amongst this congregation that they really were in a state of misery, bankrupt spiritually. And I think we have to take it as the picture of a backslider. Someone who is really, well, their name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. They belong to the Lord. They're the child of God. We're not doubting their salvation. But the state of their soul is backslidden. They've lost out. They've gotten away from the place of blessing. No longer any zeal. I suppose it's just the attitude of the shrug of the shoulders. Do they hate sin? They just shrug their shoulders at it. Do they love the world or hate the world? They just shrug the shoulders and say, well, that's the way it is. And then in their own personal heart, they don't get through to God. They don't get any blessing. And it shows us how absolutely dependent everyone as a Christian is on the Lord. Every day, every hour, we need manna. We need that water of life in our souls. This is an awful state to get into. Is it possible that you've gotten into such a state of heart? Where to describe your condition now is to read this list in verse 17. Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What an awful description of a Christian's heart. And yet, we have to confess it. Where's the joy? Where's the peace? Where's the pleasure in prayer? Where is our holy walk with God? This is the thermometer of the soul. Zeal is a thermometer. It takes the temperature of your spiritual life. And when your hymnal is just hanging down and you're not really singing, and when you are in an attitude of taking it or leaving it, lukewarm, then the call is to repent, have a new attitude. I can't go on like this. I can't live in this state much longer. I've been robbed of the blessings that are in Christ Jesus.
Well, thank you for joining with us here on the program. This is Ian Gallagher, and I hope that this message has struck a chord with your heart. It's difficult to evangelize the self-complacent or the rich. The Lord Jesus taught about the rich young ruler who, when asked to give up all that he possessed, went away very sorrowful. And the Lord Jesus taught that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I wonder, have you become dependent on earthly, material things? Just ask, what is it that crams your life from morning to evening? What is it that would cause you to neglect your soul? Usually it's stuff. It's just material stuff. You may think that money can offset the need to prepare for eternity, but really it can't. Eternity will come calling, death will catch up with you, and you need to be prepared. And anything that makes you confident in yourself or your own capability to handle life and death, that has to be really dealt with. We all need to realize that death is the great leveler. Rich and poor die together. Go to a graveyard and there you will find the millionaire and even his gardener or another poor person lie side by side in the next grave. And there is no money in the grave. There are no pockets in shrouds. I read of one traveling preacher, and he needed a suit, and he went to a funeral home that he might get a suit for a last-minute appointment. And when he put the suit on, and it fitted him well in every other way, but they discovered there were no pockets in it. And that's because in death, all the stuff of life has no meaning ever again. And we need to be prepared spiritually. We come into this world naked, we leave it naked, and we will return to God. But our soul needs to be saved. We need to have the Lord Jesus in our hearts. We need to be redeemed and have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If I can be of any personal help in that, make sure you give me a call. I will be delighted to hear from you, and I'll take time personally to talk to you about the very pressing need of your soul to be saved. Thank you for joining with us today. May the Lord bless you richly. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.